in the world.
The boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah!
You are listening to the ReviewFix.com podcast.
Welcome to the ReviewFix.com wrestling podcast. This is the Caucasian sensation, Patrick Hickey Jr., joined by the always luscious Juan de Jesus. What's up, Juan?
Not exactly sexual chocolate, because right now I'm eating cantaloupe, and you can't really be cantaloupe chocolate, even though it is spelled that way.
Interesting week this week on wrestling. No, all jokes aside.
Interesting week. All jokes aside, it's been a great week.
If you're a wrestling fan, this is kind of like the best week since like the Attitude Era. Like the last week of the Monday Night Wars. This was like one of the coolest weeks in wrestling history over like the last 10 years. No doubt about it.
But I just think there was so much meat to this week, wrestling world, that you really. You had some pieces that were great, you know, like any steak. You know, you got some gristle, you got that juicy little portion right there. And I think that started off with Elimination Chamber. I mean, you know, our boy Zack Ryder, Long Island IZ, he got to do a match on a pre-show after being noticeably absent for months at a time. I'm surprised WWE lets people do things like that. You know, usually it would require some build. But I guess you could randomly work your way back into the card, even if it is a preview show.
It's just crazy, too, because, like, Zack Ryder is a really good wrestler. You know, like, he's a guy that can work. He's like a self-made man. He got his own little push a couple years ago. It took him to the U.S. title. But then, yeah, you're right. He kind of, like, pulled the Mojo Rawley and just, like, completely disappeared off the face of the earth. And then to only come back and have a really solid match with Stardust, and before that, it was that match with John Cena, so it's like, all of a sudden, somebody's stock is rising.
And I'll tell you for real, I went to a live show. That kid, he puts on a show, he tries. And, you know, New Yorkers, you know, we have a special place for our own. And, you know, the Broski Boot got a great reaction, even though he lost. He got completely demolished by Luke Harper, you know, which is seems to be the trend with like Zack Ryder, but it really would. I knew a guy like him in college, and it would warm my heart if he at least got some type of a push. I don't want him to win a title, but just to be in a picture for the U.S. title, I think would be beneficial, you know, for, you know, some of the younger guys, because eventually, you know, what's going to happen with Adrian Neville? What's going to happen, you know, with Bad News Barrett, who unfortunately, since winning King of the Ring, has done absolutely nothing. And he did nothing again in this Elimination Chamber.
It's just so sad in a way, because it's like Cena being U.S. champion was supposed to bring some legitimacy to the title. But at the end of the day, it's like the NXT title means more than the United States title right now. And I think the feud between Kevin Steen, yes, I called him Kevin Steen, with John Cena will ultimately go down as like kind of Owens taking the U.S. title from Cena, and them allowing Finn Balor to kind of, like, take the mantle over NXT. And then Owens is going to be, like, the Brock Lesnar light until Brock Lesnar comes back. And so, like, you're going to have the entire, like, United States title scene being, like, how the world title scene was when Lesnar was champion. And I think it's going to be important moving forward. But right now, yeah, guys like Zack Ryder, guys like Neville, guys like Ziggler deserve to be, like, in that mix. But the only problem is there is no mix when John Cena's in there. John Cena is, like, really thick chocolate milk. It's like, after a while, it's like, well, where's the milk, bro? It's just syrup. It's like, it's sweet, but it's too goddamn sweet, and you can't put anything else in there. It's just, like, this frothy, disgusting mess.
Well, I don't know if Max Landis, he's the screenwriter, right?
Mm-hmm.
He does these videos on the internet where he basically explains to people what things are. And Scott Snyder, writer on Batman, great writer, on had the Court of Owls. If you ever read that arc in the DC Comics, New 52, even though that's been wiped out by their event, but that's a whole separate podcast. Scott Snyder didn't understand why people were booing John Cena. He saw John Cena as entertaining, as hardworking. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. at that live event, right, I saw so many girls and so many little boys dressed up like John Cena, down to the armbands and the towel hanging out of his back pocket. I get why WWE goes, hey, he's a safe bet. He's always going to make us money. Because these kids don't want to be John Cena because he's a superhero. Max Landis said John Cena is Superman. Right. And everyone else has a problem. Oh, here comes this villain that you've been building up for a year and a half in a Flash comic. Superman shows up and goes, oh, he doesn't mean anything. Punches him once. Tears his brain all over Central City. And the Flash goes, okay, I'm cool with it. And if people boo him or do something, Superman or John Cena will just go, hey, you're stupid, or something else, and then he'll shrug it off. But you can't do that with someone of Kevin Owens' caliber. Kevin Steen. I mean, the guy's prolific in the indies, and those who are in the know that he's one to watch. They're dialing him back. You know they're dialing him back.
Oh, yeah, this is what you're getting now is absolutely... positively Kevin Steen light. And it's, let me just say something for the record. I love John Cena. What John Cena represents, and
he's a hardworking guy.
He absolutely,
that house show, he worked just like if it was Raw.
He works absolutely positively hard, and he is like the definition of what a wrestler is supposed to be in this era. He's the best. He's the standard bearer for which all other wrestlers are gauged in terms of being the complete package. He may not be the best worker, but he cuts a damn good promo, and he will work as hard as he possibly can. But Kevin Owens is an enigma. Kevin Owens is so much better on the mic than anyone will ever give him credit for, and he does stuff in the ring that a 320-pound guy can't. Kevin Owens' problem for a very long time is he didn't know when to keep his mouth shut, and that caused him a lot of problems in the indies, and he always wanted to do stuff that he probably shouldn't have even been able to do in front of 300 people that were paying, you know, $10 to see him. 320-pound guys should not do 450s in gyms. It's just stupid. 325, 350-pound guys should not want to super kick female ring announcers in gyms. Like, Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, whatever you want to call him, wanted to, like, push it 120% every single match. And honestly, it's pretty stupid. And it got to the point where, like, a lot of promoters, and especially the promoters in bigger promotions, were like, well, you know what? We know this guy could work, but he doesn't take direction well. And in order for him to kind of, like, get with the program, he's going to have to do exactly that, get with the program. And, like, somebody like Jim Cornette hated working with him in Ring of Honor. And Jim,
it's sad that nobody listens to Cornette when he's saying it, and then down the road they do exactly what he says, and they succeed.
Yeah. Jim Cornette said if he learned how to shut his mouth and do what he was supposed to do, then he would be a success. And do you think that he's telling Triple H, nah, bro, I don't want to do that? Absolutely not. It got to the point, like, his first match, I think we talked about this before, where, like, Triple H took him to the side and told him, wrestle the match that you want to wrestle against, CJ Parker. And he still wrestled a pretty low-key match compared to, like, what people are used to seeing from him on the indies. It was more of a WWE-style match. So he's learning. Yeah.
Because you don't have to kill yourself. And I think that's what Cornette was saying.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to kill yourself for these people. You want to... But that's the problem with being young.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm here right now. I'm going to do everything for these people.
But the thing is, too, kill yourself.
I see Adam Cole kind of falling into that. I see the Young Bucks falling into that. Where they will give you everything.
They give them everything when they pay for it, you know?
I know, but $10, listen.
No, I'm not talking about $10. I'm talking about
PWG.
Yeah. I'm talking about $50. You know, I'm talking about pay for a pay-per-view. Pay for, like, a front row seat at WrestleMania. Yeah, then you can do a $450. You know, then you can do a Steenalizer from the top rope. You know, not in a gym where, like, half the people are just, like, family members and shit, you know? And the best part of the match is that it's going to go on YouTube and maybe it'll get 10,000 page views, you know?
But I saw him do it in PWG. as I'm doing the CZW. And these are, you know, all these guys that are in the WWE right now, they all went through them.
Mm-hmm.
They all went through these little auditoriums. They went through the little ballrooms, you know, where they were basically touching the ceiling when jumping off the top rope. You know, and I'm looking at them, going, these guys are killing each other. What's going to be left when they make it? You know, but from what I saw, he's got plenty left in the tank.
Oh, yeah, I think he's got plenty left in the tank. And I think, too, he's already in better shape than I've seen him in a long time. And I think his match with John Cena was more along the lines of, do you have enough wind? Because, I mean, people can say whatever they want to say about John Cena, but they'll never say that he can't go a half hour, you know? So the fact that Owens was able to kind of keep wind with him, and I mean, do the stuff off the top rope that he did, and just have that well-rounded match, that proves something. So he proved that he was worthy in that match. It didn't matter if he won or lost. It was even better that he won. But his performance in Elimination Chamber proved that he could hang with anybody in the WWE in terms of, like, being in the ring.
And you know what? That match stole the show. Between that and the Ambrose-Rollins match, the Ambrose-Rollins was solid. But Cena's theme was... It was a heavyweight fight. It was, you know, not the belts weren't up, but it was everything that you wanted to see on a pay-per-view. Because the build-up was no nonsense. Hey, this guy came, he destroyed you twice. Now he's getting in your face and he's mocking you. You got something to prove. They went in there, they fought it out, and they let him win clean.
Which was great. I mean, I don't think anyone saw that. I mean, I remember watching Elimination Chamber with my wife, and she doesn't watch NXT and stuff, so she's like, who is this guy? I don't like him. And I'm like, why don't you like him? And she's like, just look at the way he looks. He just doesn't look like a wrestler. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you have no idea, like,
who this guy is.
Like, this guy is so different than Cena. He is like the antithesis of Cena. Like, he's going to win this match. And she's like, no, he's not, blah, blah, blah. And when, you know, he hit the first pop-up powerbomb, she was like, what was that? And I'm like, yep, watch. You know, and then he started doing stuff off the top rope.
Valley Driver from the top rope.
Yeah. It's just, you know, he brings something different. And it's like guys like Daniel Bryan, guys like CM Punk, guys like Seth Rollins, guys like Ambrose. These are the guys that, like, the real wrestling fans want to see. And this is the thing, though, which's really sad. And it's like, real wrestling fans don't make up the majority of wrestling fans. So you have all these fly-by-night people or these people, oh, I dress up as John Cena, oh. And it's like, those guys don't really know what the hell they're talking about. But the thing is, too, because of the internet, it's like the industry is kind of at a crossroads where all the geeks and the guys that watch all those Suicidal Dragon videos on YouTube, the 25 best moves of, you know, Kurosawa, or all these weird Japanese wrestlers that they've never seen before, or people that, like, go and hunt for, like, Fire Pro Wrestling games on Japanese Super Nintendos because they just want to play, you know, the oldest, coolest wrestling games they can. Those people, all of a sudden, have a voice. And that voice is they want to see people like Adrian Neville, like Kevin Owens, like Dolph Ziggler, like Daniel Bryan, you know? So it's like such a cool time to be a wrestling fan. And I think, like, while the close of Elimination Chamber was pretty crappy, I mean, the whole DQ thing, that's something that we could have seen on Raw. It's the fact that Ambrose and Rollins were in a main event at a pay-per-view. That's kind of as cool as it could possibly be for a real wrestling fan.
Well, think about this. I always tell you, I've said it on the podcast before, and I'll say it again for those tuning in for the first time. The way I measure the popularity or the ability of someone to be a heel is by how much my mother hates me. My mother hates Kevin Owens for everything that your wife says. But when he comes out, she hums his theme song.
Yep.
Because when that music hits, somebody's going to get their ass kicked.
Yep. And how do you not want to see that?
How do you not want to see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens get?
Mm-hmm.
He destroyed him twice. It's the same fight that you and I have been watching for 9 years.
That's the thing, too. That's the beautiful part of it. It's the same story. Yep, it's the same story. And it's like, we've seen that match a dozen times, at least. but it's like all of these fly-by-night wrestling fans are all like, oh, that was such a cool match, TakeOver, oh my god. It's like, bro, they've been doing this for 10 years. They've probably saved enough money, like, to keep themselves afloat for, like, the past 10 years just by having that one match.
Well, think about this, and then we'll close out. We'll talk about the DQ finish. We'll close out Elimination.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens, one man, debuted in December.
Yeah.
Won the title at the very next pay-per-view.
1 month in the company. Yep.
1 month. He finished his, he kept his title. He defended it twice successfully. Zayn came back. He finished his feud with Sami Zayn. Puts him out of commission because Zayn has a legit injury. That same night, immediately starts his feud with Samoa Joe. The very next night, immediately starts a feud with John Cena. And is in line to have a feud with Hideo Itami. Is doing open challenges, and he still has an ongoing feud with Finn Balor. How many feuds is that?
Yeah. I mean, talk about a 3 or 4 front war, you know?
He is a walking plot device.
Yep.
Hey, Sami Zayn needs surgery. Well, let Owens beat the crap out of him. Hey, Hideo Itami hurt himself. Well, imply that it was Owens, so Itami has someone to fight. Well, how are we going to make Samoa Joe's entrance impactful? Well, have him come out to rescue Sami Zayn. Oh, well, the U.S. title picture is a little shitty. Well, have the NXT champion show up and go for the lower tier title, the transitory title. I mean, he is a walking plot device.
It's because he's cool. That's the thing.
If I was WWE right now, I'd take a couple of top heels from NXT, and I would invade the main roster.
Oh yeah. Or even
that way, you don't have to defend the U.S. title at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
You could pass off the blow. You could get more mileage out of this feud by having the blow-off match happen at Battleground and not at SummerSlam.
There's a couple of guys in NXT right now that, like, if used properly, like, Owens could start, like, a kick-ass faction with. You know? Like,
I mean, look at Jason Jordan. He needs something to do, and he's got the look.
Mm-hmm. Baron Corbin.
But is he, he's a tweener, right?
He's a tweener, but the thing is, too, it's like he could easily be bad, and it's just his finishing move. All he has to do is just go out and hit people with the End of Days. That's exactly what I would do with him. You know? Just have him come out and beat people with the End of Days. Or it's just like, there's so many, even Colin Cassidy. I know you wouldn't want to break him up with Enzo, but he could be a guy that just comes in, big boot somebody, you know, East River Plunge, and then, you know, goes off. Like, a lot of these guys don't have to wrestle, like, full matches. I mean, look at some of these guys in NXT. Wade Barrett didn't have, like, a real match in WWE for freaking 4 or 5 months. You know? So they could kind of let them learn on the fly. I don't know. I just think you're right, though. Like, there's enough of a crop in NXT where they could easily clean up a lot of the nonsense on the main roster right now. And there's way too many. There's every episode of Raw, there's like 3 or 4 matches that you're like, yeah, why is this match on TV? And it's just like 1, 2, 3. Like, it's like a quick job out, and it's like, it reminds me of, like, Nitro in 1997, where, like, Wrath would come out and beat somebody, like, for nothing. Or, like, Glacier ends up going on, like, an 8-month winning streak and doesn't really beat anybody of any, like, caliber. It's just, like, so stupid. It's an old wrestling, you know, facade. Like, oh, you know what? We want this guy to be good, so we're going to have him beat, like, 1,000 jobbers to have him establish his credibility. What Kevin Owens has done on Raw has proven that you don't need to have, you know, 100 matches where you just win to prove yourself. You just need to have one good match, and it doesn't matter if you win or lose. You just need to have one good match. And, you know, maybe this is, like, the beginning of something different. Maybe guys won't be booked, like, for 6 months, you know, doing nothing. Maybe they'll just jump right in. It's like Joe. Joe's first match in NXT or Raw, wherever it is going to mean something. And that's the way that it should be. There shouldn't be so much of a delay. I don't know. And we're talking about, these are established guys. So, like, does Mojo Rawley have to have 500 matches? Absolutely. Times 10. You know,
but Tyler Breeze doesn't.
Tyler Breeze does not. You know, Samoa Joe does not. Owens does not. And they did the same thing with Neville. Has Neville, like, Neville's lost a lot of his matches, but hasn't he, like, gone out and done his thing in every single one? Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the way that it should
be. He faced the champion in, like, his third match.
Yep. And I think this is all, like, Triple H beginning to, like, understand, like, the way that things should be logically. Instead of, like, all of these old wrestling cliches that, oh, these guys have to be like this and da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like, it's just so stupid. You know, and I think wrestling fans are so much smarter than they were, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that it's time to start booking very, very differently. So.
But, we say that, and yet we got the dusty finish.
Ugh, I couldn't. That pissed me off so bad because
I legit thought he won.
Yeah. And the thing is,
I was happy and my heart was fluttering.
He's not ready yet, but it would have been cool.
Listen to the reaction. Yes. Everyone knew that it wasn't going to count.
Yep. Yeah.
Some people pop big because they marked out.
Yep. But it's like right after the other referee got up, everyone knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Aw, really? You did that?" I think it would have been cooler to see Ambrose win the belt and then even, like, lose it the next night. Get screwed and lose it the next night. You know? But you got to give a guy, like, an opportunity. And it's like, Reigns, the fans proved how they feel about Reigns. So Reigns isn't going to get that opportunity. But, like, the fans have done nothing but support Ambrose.
But I don't know why. Reigns has gotten so much better.
He has, but the thing is,
and,
too.
And his three matches on Raw, one kid's got. He's got something.
They should have did that. They should have did that 4 months ago with him.
Yeah, because look, he looks so much better by the third match.
He does.
Like, he was exhausted.
He does. He looks much better. But the thing is, too, it's too little, too late. Like, they had him when he beat Brian clean. Everyone knew that was bullshit. Like, If Roman Reigns won the lottery, fell asleep with, like, 10 Playboy bunnies in his bed, okay, and then, like, walked into, like, I don't know, Burger King and got, like, the biggest Whopper of all time for free, he still wouldn't be able to beat Daniel Bryan in a match clean, but somehow he did. So it's like, the real fans, the same people that booed Batista when he came back, those are the same people that, like, no, like, they pulled it to Dikembe Mutombo, no, not in my house, not happening, buddy, you know? But have they done that with Seth Rollins? No. Have they done that with Dean Ambrose? No. Have they ever done that with Ziggler? No. So it's like, Roman Reigns hasn't won over, like, the geek of wrestling fans yet. And the thing is, the question remains, will he ever? I don't know.
He's winning me over by doing the hard work. But I see the swerve coming, and I know you do too.
Yeah, I see this. It's like common sense. It's like, you can't be that cool with the guy and not, like, Roman Reigns wants the title. It's like obvious, and it's like, will he screw over supposedly his brother to get it? Absolutely. This is the thing, though, too, and I'm going to say it. The spear is not a finishing move. It's not.
It's a setup.
It's a setup move.
Before.
Yes, the only person that could really use it as a finisher is Rhino, because Rhino will, like, run you through a goddamn wall. You know?
Which he literally has.
Yes. Done. So it's like, no, bro, no, stop. Stop.
Well, he's got, we've said this, I wrote about it. He's got to be his own person.
Yes.
He still isn't. He's become much better in the ring, but he's still the Shield.
Yep.
And they're still playing off that. But these guys, they could play up, they could riff off it by just having them become like a solar system around each other, mm-hmm. where they're all vying for the title. But right now, you only get one or the other. You get Seth Rollins and Ambrose, or you get Seth Rollins and Reigns. But there's too many other people. This J&J security thing has to stop.
Yeah, I agree.
It's bad booking. Right, it was fun for a while. I get it, Pat Patterson, you know, and Briscoe. I get it, but it's got to stop. He's got to win clean, because right now he's a heel, but he's becoming a chicken shit heel instead of being a cheating heel.
And they're screwing him over, too, by having him use the pedigree. They're well, making well, him,
that's
like...
That's that whole thing with the concussions and the lawsuits that they have. For now, they told them not to use it until that's all cleared up.
But then the same thing, too, like, that DDT, obviously it's not the best DDT in the world, but at least it was a little bit more original than having him be this, like, wannabe Triple H, you know what I'm saying?
But he is the heir apparent, and that heir apparent may lead to a storyline where Triple H puts him over, which is exactly where he's leading. But, you know, that don't, well, he do it for the title. Because yeah. Right now, he's going to keep that title to SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah. And this is the thing. Who beats him? I don't know.
Well, interesting theory is, well, let's go into Monday Night Raw.
Sure.
Where it was a lackluster show.
Absolutely.
But it had some high points. Rusev. Jesus, where'd this guy come from?
Very good promo. Yeah, good promo. Realistic.
Yeah.
Down to earth.
He's lost everything.
Yep.
How could you not like him?
I agree.
I mean, he's the monster heel he's basically become Quasimodo in this thing.
He's another guy, though, too, that needs some more of himself. It's like, stop with the camel clutch shit. You know? Like, have him come back and have a different submission move. Something unique, something different. He's got a nice slew of strikes, a nice, like, that Uranagi that he does is nice, but it's like, not the camel clutch. It's like, it's like a wrestling cliche. Give a guy from another country, like, the camel clutch and shit. You know, it's like a hating American, a guy that hates America, the camel clutch. It's like, dude, no.
Have to break the back of the country.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that dude is fucking huge in person.
Oh, yeah.
All these guys are huge in person.
Yeah, I've seen him.
He's monstrous in person.
I saw him at SummerSlam, like, 2 years ago. And this is when he was doing, like, this, like, it was like Rusev Light. He was like kind of like dressed like a caveman. But he was still a big bastard, you know? It's just, he's like this sweaty hog.
His spin kick.
Oh, it was awesome.
And I'm just sitting there going like, you know, I weigh more, but my shit is fat. But he's just spinning around, and I'm going, this guy needs a knockout finisher.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. He needs a knockout finisher. Yeah, I mean, the submission is great, but you can't always win on a submission.
Yeah, he needs something else.
It's like, get rid of the schoolboy.
Yeah.
I'm tired of seeing the schoolboy finish.
Yeah, schoolboy, roll up, the stack up. It's like over and over and over. I remember there was like an episode of Impact a couple of years ago where it was like there were 7 matches on the card and 6 ended with like the schoolboy. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, Ricky Steamboat somewhere is, like, rolling in his... Oh, no, he's still alive. You know, it's just like, oh, my God. Enough. Enough. People need to think more when they book this stuff. It's like... It's kind of like, it reminds me sometimes of, like, TV. Like, you watch, like, a new sitcom, and you're like, how is this, like, different from what we've seen before? And it's one of the reasons why, like, Netflix originals are so awesome now, because it's like, they're doing so many different things. They're taking chances. It's one of the reasons why I'm, like, excited about Billy Corgan taking over, like, a part of creative for TNA. It's like, try something different. Bring somebody else in there. He's, like, a dedicated wrestling fan, but he has, like, a different outside opinion. Something like that needs to happen on Raw. So it's like you got a bunch of fresh new faces going in there, and it's like the hope every Monday at like 7:59 is like, maybe tonight will be different. And a lot of the time it's not.
It's not, no. Because it ends in a 6-man tag.
Yeah.
Teddy Long is going like, it's a dream come true.
And it's just like, it sucks because it's like you have like 10 matches on the card. And then you know one is going to be like a shitty Divas match that nobody cares about, that doesn't mean anything. You know, and then like they're gonna defend every title, and all of the matches are gonna end in like disqualifications or run-ins or interference or something like that. And the only time the matches ever really count or give a shit about them is at a pay-per-view. And now the pay-per-view market is completely like bullshit. So now you can, because you're only paying $10 a month, you can absolutely positively have a DQ fucking finish in a pay-per-view. Which is completely fucking unacceptable. It's completely wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, but again, lackluster.
Could you imagine one? Could you goddamn imagine Bash at the Beach 1996, Hogan comes in, and instead of Hogan coming in and he gets involved in the match, that as soon as he like gets in the ring, before he's able to like kind of drop the leg on anybody, that they throw it out in the DQ? Could you imagine? That would never happen.
Well, let's be 100% honest. That referee was it Patrick? Something Patrick?
Yeah, it was Nick Patrick, yeah.
Nick Patrick? Right. He was never going to see that leg drop.
Or I think it was Pee-wee Anderson might have been the ref for that match.
But I remember that guy used to have blinders on.
Oh, yeah.
He literally walk by it as it's happening and not see it, and then count to three fast.
You rarely had DQ finishes in pay-per-views for, like, world title matches. Rarely. Did it happen? Yes. Yeah, you had swerves.
Rock bottom, people.
Yes. Yes. But the thing that I loved about, like, this is the thing. We need to, like, go back to, like, the ECW days where it would be, like, Tommy Dreamer wins the belt. And then somebody else comes in, and then it's like, just because they're in the ring, a new match starts. Like, there's like not even any explanation. It's like, I'll never forget it. Tommy Dreamer beats like Raven for the ECW title, and then all of a sudden, like, the lights go out, and then Just Incredible comes in. That's Incredible Piledriver. Referee counts to three. All of a sudden, what? Just Incredible's the champion? You're fucking right, Just Incredible's the champion. It was so unpredictable that it was fun. And that's the thing. It's like, wrestling isn't fun anymore. I watched 5 hours of wrestling, longer than five. I watched 8 hours of wrestling this week, and I'm like, this feels like work. This doesn't feel the same way.
Very simple reason that... It asks you to make so many leaps in logic. With the exception of a few things. It's like, if Dolph Ziggler is the start, if this, like, they start setting up the Money in the Bank match, which of course includes a rematch of Cena Owens, you know, but that happened immediately after the other one ended. So, you know, cash it in, drain it of life right now.
Yeah.
WWE creative, just drain it of life, right? It could have simmered, you know, what are the best sauces? The ones that simmer. Those are the ones that get all the flavor. Mm-hmm. You're not letting this get any flavor. You're immediately going from pot to plate, and that's not how you cook.
This is the thing I'm wondering, too. Like, I've said it, and it's like we've had this conversation before. Like, Triple H has even said it, where, like, the hardest hour to book is the last hour of Raw because it's a three-hour show, and they feel like there's just so much that they have to do and blah, blah, blah. When Tough Enough comes back, on June 23rd, it's going to be on at 8 o'clock on USA. So does that mean Raw is an hour less?
Is June 23rd on Monday?
Oh, no, you're right. Oh, it's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Oh, why?
And it's going to be on at the same time as main event that they can't really air in the United States because of their issue with Sky Sports.
Ugh. And main event isn't even on the WWE Network anymore.
They can't show it. But you could catch it on Hulu.
So now I have to pay even more money to watch, like, shitty wrestling.
Yes. To watch Adam Rose fight. I forgot who he was fighting.
Oh, my God.
And I saw it today.
Dude.
Which is a really sad part.
Adam Rose had a really freaking good match with Tyler Breeze on NXT this week.
Yes, it was good. And it makes me sad because now I know his backstory due to that E60 documentary. And that guy is a sympathetic character, and they're not running with it. They're running with the heel lovers, and it's just, it's not working for me, dude.
Dude, he's a former FCW champion. He's like a good performer, you know?
Yeah, but they didn't like the Leo Kruger character.
Yep.
I'm saying, you know, if they could have brought it back and made it a little bit more compelling, you know, as the Leo Kruger, did you see the E60?
No. I mean, I'm very familiar with his career, but I never saw the E60.
Right, but do you know his backstory?
No. Let us, like, inform us.
And this is from the E60 documentary. You could catch it on YouTube. You could catch it on ESPN. Right. It's a wonderful 52 minutes. Right. He's from South Africa. He lived on his own from a very young age of 15. He started wrestling around that time. He made his career in South Africa. He came over to Canada and the States. He traveled. He got signed to FCW right before it became NXT. There he developed his FCW championship persona, Leo Kruger. And that's where he met his wife, and they have a 3-year-old son who was born with his intestines outside of his abdominal cavity.
Oh, my God.
So he's had to have surgery to repair that. So he has to feed his son through a tube. And you see him do that when he gets home from NXT. Right, when he gets home from rolling around on the mat and taking bumps 8 hours that day, he gets home and he does that with his son, and he lays in bed with his son. Why do you not run with a sympathetic character like that? Why do you try to turn him heel?
Yeah, well,
most people have no choice but to not boo him.
And the whole thing is, too, if they turned him into this character now, it would make so much sense because he would be like, oh, you know, his regular voice instead of this, like, you know, Austin Powers ripoff that he is. Like, you guys want me to party all the time, but, like, when I go home, I'm feeding my kid out of the tube. Like, I'm sick of being a fake, phony piece of shit. Like, this is who I really am.
Why don't you just have Leo Kruger be his real persona?
Yeah.
Someone that he has to go ahead and he has to use the excuse of partying and being this fake person in order to forget about all the troubles at home.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, the whole thing with the bunny, right, he should have gone on a spree and, like, murdered, not the literal sense, but, like, decimated his Exotic Express.
Yep.
Right, as Leo Kruger came out. And then the Leo Kruger would come out, he'll go around wrestling these people and then take pieces of their stuff, like a big game hunter.
That'd be awesome.
Takes pieces of their ring attire, right, in order to build himself up, in order to get a championship shot, so that he could one day come home and provide for his family. I think that's compelling.
Yeah, I would watch that. Instead of, you know, oh, let me fall into my party and stuff like that. It's like, come on, man.
And then you team him up with Rosa Mendez.
No.
Rosa and Adam Rose, I get it. I know why you did it.
She still smells like Michael Hayes.
Yes, she does. And that just smells like whiskey and tobacco.
I must say, though, like, I love Michael Hayes.
Well,
I think
Adam Rose is basically Michael Hayes.
Yeah.
Without all the good stuff.
Yeah. But in terms of, like, being entertaining, like, he wasn't the best wrestler by a long shot, but he was just so goddamn charismatic. It's, like, impossible not to like him. It's, like, the way the Freebirds are put together is very similar to the way, like, the Shield was put together. You have, like, one guy that's, like, super charismatic that people love and, like, women love. And then you have another guy that will sell his ass off. And then you have another guy that can really, really work, you know? So it just, I can't talk enough about the Freebirds. But to get back to, like, Adam Rose, I mean, it's just sad. Because it's, like, again, real wrestling fans know that he can work. And this week on NXT, he proved that he could work. So why? Why
but,
is he?
Can I ask you 100% honest question?
Sure.
Does the crowd make NXT better, therefore making your enjoyment of the match better? Or is the wrestling better because the crowd is into it?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think sometimes this is the thing, too. Because it's like, I know when, like, you know, Abraham Simonson wrestles, like, some, like, fucking jabroni that nobody knows, and the crowd's chanting his name, I know that some people could go, oh, who is this guy? I'm not doing that. I'm like, yeah, okay, I know this guy is going to get his ass. Like, when Blue Pants goes out there, you know, and people are like, let's go, Blue Pants. I'm like, yeah, Blue Pants is getting her ass kicked. Like, that's not happening, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, too, the performers go out and they give a little bit more because they know that the fans are invested.
I mean, Dana Brooke, she tries.
She tries, and I think, to be honest, I think, like, the crowd getting into her does make it appear that she is better than what she actually is.
Yeah, because she is not good at all.
She's not yet, but the thing is, too, she's pretty smoking hot in terms of, like, below her neck. And she has the capability of being something special. Like, she has, like, the moves, like, the taunts, like, her entrance and stuff like that. And
what a great package altogether, by the way. That entrance song is amazing.
Yes. Like, they put the pieces together very, very well, you know?
But the wrestling is not there.
Yeah, she's not there yet in terms of wrestling. But she could get there, you know? So she.
I mean, look at Devin Taylor. I know she's been getting a lot of attention lately. She started making some TV appearances, but she's very good.
There's a lot of people that are really good that, like, don't get. I mean, we talked about this before, but remember Blake and Murphy, like, 6 months ago?
Yeah, I remember they were jobbing out. And now they're in a pretty compelling storyline.
And we were like, these guys are good. How come these guys don't get a shot? Blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, I think all these people that we're talking about are eventually going to get a shot. Rose, I don't think he's getting the shot as Adam Rose. I think he's going to be repackaged. Or the thing is, too, it might work even better. Look at Drew Galloway and Impact now. All of a sudden, like, he actually means a little bit more than he meant in the WWE. So maybe it might take Adam Rose to go to Ring of Honor or to, you know, TNA to get, like, a little bit of an extra push. And he could always come back, you know? Well, so
interesting that you mentioned that. Ring of Honor made his Destination America debut. And I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, same here.
I liked it, but I was underwhelmed. Good matches. I was underwhelmed. Do you want to know why?
Why?
You premiere on a network. You got to give me at least a 2-minute primer on what's going on with your titles.
Yes. Very, very well said.
Why are these guys fighting?
Yep. They just threw us into every storyline like we were supposed to know what the fuck was going on. You know? And it's like, me and you knew what was going on, but at the same time, too.
But we're not the public.
Exactly, exactly.
You're brand new in a wrestling game, you go, hey, you got to give us some primers.
You know, it's even worse, too. And I hate to say this, and this isn't a slight against New Japan, because I love what New Japan does. But the bottom line is, like, New Japan is slowly becoming more of an American promotion in the fact that, like, storylines are beginning to matter more. And that's thanks a lot to the Bullet Club. But the thing is, it's like, you cannot throw in, like, talented American wrestler with no-name Japanese wrestler. You know, it's like, you have to make people give a shit about the two people that are in the ring. And a lot of the Japanese guys,
probably isn't a no-name Japanese
wrestler. I know, they're, but the thing is, to the average person watching the show that has no idea who these people are, that's exactly the way they come off. Next week, this week, whatever week you want to call it, Jushin Thunder Liger is going to be there. And if they don't give a little backstory as to who the hell Jushin Thunder Liger is, then they're underserving, like, the people that are watching the show. Because I know who Jushin Thunder Liger is, and I've loved Jushin Thunder Liger for, like, the 31 years that I've been on this planet. But
Is it really the same person?
Yeah, of course it's the same person.
Is it really, Patrick?
Yeah.
Sure.
I hope so.
His body changes a little bit.
Well, I mean, you know, he's on drugs and stuff like that.
Oh, man. I don't even know how to respond to that. But you understand what I get where you're coming from. They're like, who the hell is this goofy-looking guy?
It's like throwing that, you know what it is, too? It's like when I used to watch Nitro back in the day, and you would watch a cruiserweight match, and it would be like, you know, La Parca versus Psychosis. And the average wrestling fan, like my father, would be like, oh, it's like two Mexicans with masks on their face. Oh, who gives a shit? Bah, 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 bah. And then Mike Tenay would be all like, all right, this guy is the relative of this guy, and he's wrestled here, and he's won these titles, blah, 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 blah. And then within 5 minutes, my dad would be basically repeating this stuff verbatim, like, oh, yeah, he's like, you know, he won that championship in AAA, like, 3 times, and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, the guy has credibility. So it's like, nothing against Steve Corino and Kevin Kelly, but they need to kind of, like, provide a better context for the stuff that's going on in the ring. I know who BJ Whitmer is. I love BJ Whitmer. You know, but it's like the average person doesn't know why he has a big mouth.
Yeah. Who's this? Was the guy from the Exotic Eats on Travel Channel, Don Zimmer?
Yeah.
Who's this Don Zimmer looking guy?
Yeah.
Who's basically Jace, you know, Storm from the Revolution on Ring of Honor.
Yes. Yes.
It's basically the same character.
Uh-huh. But the thing, there was no context in that Ring of Honor show. And it's like the only thing that saved that show was like the pure, unbridled charisma of Jay Briscoe.
My God, he's just swimming in it.
He's awesome! I mean, he's got that tone, like, them boys, you know, like, he's just like, he don't take no shit from anybody. That double underhook pile driver, I love it. And Jay Lethal is awesome, too. Jay Lethal is like a young African-American, like, Ric Flair. Like, he has that type of swagger about him. And he busts his ass in the ring. Anyone that's watched him in TNA knows that he is the real deal. Fake Macho Man or whatever. He is an excellent, excellent worker. And it's like his time in Ring of Honor has really allowed him to, like, develop more of a persona. I mean, that whole House of Truth faction is a complete joke. Dijak and this guy and that guy. Who gives a shit? But it's like, Jay Lethal is the real deal.
You don't like Truth Martini?
He reminds me of that freaking guy from TNA. What was that guy's name in the early TNA? Oh, I forgot his name. It'll come to me later. He's just, he doesn't do anything.
I don't remember.
Me.
TNA started when I was in college.
Oh.
And I was drinking a lot.
His wife, the guy from TNA, his wife was in the last season of Tough Enough. And she, like, left after, like, three episodes. She said that she was, like, a pro wrestler for, like, 10 years or whatever. Meanwhile, she was greener than goose shit, like, with ham on top.
Well.
But anyway. So I don't know. That faction really doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, but why am I excited to tune in next week? Where's ACH? Yeah. Where's Roderick Strong? You know, I understand.
Yeah, how do you not have Roderick Strong on the first show?
No, well, Destination America can't tell them to vacate their titles.
Yeah.
Right, which would have been the smart move. You know, have a tournament for all the titles. You got like 15 weeks of programming there, but you can't because you got Best in the World coming. So, you know, they should have given us at least a primer show.
Yeah, I agree. Like an intro show, in a way.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they did with TNA. You had a lead up to their live shows.
Yes.
Where you had the best of Eric Young, the best of Kurt Angle, blah, 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 blah. All the way down. You know, and TNA wasn't any better this week either.
No, I mean,
it suffered horribly out, you know. Even a replay of Ring of Honor at 11 o'clock did better than TNA's entire 2 hours.
Which to me sucks because I don't think it was a terrible show. I think there was a couple of parts away from like that. That James Storm, nonsense. That was awful. The matches were actually solid. And there's, like, the tag team division, like, between the Dirty Heels and the Wolves, I love that. And I like that Kurt Angle is, like, taking on whoever goes his way. I like Spud, but I don't like him as an X Division champion. I think there needs to be somebody that could work a little bit better than Spud in there. And then I like that, like, there's, like, two or three feuds in the Knockouts division. I like that there's depth there, but it's, like, for some reason or another, it's just not clicking. The show's not clicking the way that it should. Ethan Carter has the potential to be an excellent, excellent heel. But something's just not clicking. He's just like, I don't know. I don't think like a Carter Angle feud is like the way to go. I don't know. They're just missing something.
They're missing ethos. Not ethos. They're missing pathos. Why should you care about this?
Yeah.
Everyone cared about the world's rivalry when they were there with the Hardys and the Dudleys, because you had past, the present, and the future.
Yeah.
All in one ring together, and it was great.
Yes.
And they worked their heart off. Right? Bobby Lashley should still be the champion.
Agreed.
TNA asked for Kurt Angle. Obviously, I mean, Destination America obviously asked Kurt Angle to become the champion for the simple reason that it's Destination America, you need an American champion. Bobby Lashley looks like an All-American to me. Yep. I don't know what the problem was.
It's because he doesn't host a fucking ghost show. He doesn't look like somebody that hosts a ghost show on their channel. That's why. I hate to say it like that. You know, it's like, bottom line, And I'm going to be bluntly honest here. I'm usually bluntly honest. But it's like Bobby Lashley was easily one of the most dominant champions, Impact Wrestling, TNA, TNA, NWA, whatever the fuck you want to call it, ever had. And the only reason why he's not champion is because he doesn't look like a good old boy. That's the only reason why. Had he been a lighter shade of pale, he'd still be champion.
Listen, that guy gets in the ring against anyone, he's going to wreck shop.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The only reason he lost is because Kurt Angle, he allowed Kurt Angle to win.
Yes.
When Brock Lesnar steps in the ring, he's going to wreck shop.
Yep.
The only reason he lost is because he allowed someone to pin him.
Yep. I mean, that's that's the match. I mean, we talk about, like, dream matches. For, like, you know, 3-4 months ago, I was one of those guys that was saying to myself, imagine, like, the kind of match that, like, Lashley and, like, Lesnar would be able to have. Jesus Christ. They're two awesome. They were two solid amateur wrestlers. They're both in fantastic shape. You know, they're both super athletic. And they both have to be toned down most of the time, depending on who they're in the ring with. And now it's like Lashley is barely on TNA now.
Well, he's doing his Bellator gig.
Yeah.
Was honestly injured.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think I see too many of the same people on TNA every week.
Yeah, I agree.
And for a small promotion, I need to see more of your roster.
What happened to Gunner?
What happened to Braun?
Yeah.
Or Magnus.
Yep, well, Magnus is in this retarded feud now with James Storm. And it's like, James Storm has a ton of... I love James Storm as a tag team wrestler. I think he's one of the best tag team wrestlers, like, in this generation. And I think he's much better as a singles wrestler than people give him credit for. But it's like, the Revolution isn't really doing it for me. Like, the first couple of weeks, it was cool, like, how he was reshaping all of these, like, lost souls swimming in fish bowls and TNA. But now it's just like... You just pushed a woman onto train tracks. Unless she comes back as, like, a different version of, like, Mickey James, then that's pretty stupid. But if she comes back and she, like, kind of kicks Magnus to the side, and she's, like, this badass bitch, then it's all for nothing. Then it's just like, okay, like, you pushed a woman on train tracks. There's just so many questions.
TNA's social media says they've contacted the Nashville police, but they still haven't found her, and they've contacted Mickie James, and she hasn't returned her phone call.
It's like, asshole, kayfabe is broken. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. There's some person, and I hate to say this, and God forgive me, God, Allah, whatever person that there is up there, whoever you believe in, please forgive me when I say this, but there's probably some person in a trailer park in Georgia that is on that Twitter feed right now, like, oh, they're looking for her right now, they can't find her, Jesus Christ, they took her job, you know, and it's like, holy shit, are we still here? Why are we still here? Why is my intelligence being slapped in the face and then DDT'd on the cement? Why?
Because I think they feel that's what people want to see. Something more compelling.
Well, obviously,
a better way to get her into that faction than doing that.
Absolutely. And it's like, it's sad, like you said it, man. The second the rerun of Ring of Honor got higher ratings. And let's be fair, the production value of Ring of Honor was pretty damn shitty. Like, I could have wiped my ass on a tube TV on a VHS cassette of an ECW pay-per-view from 1996, and it would have looked better than Ring of Honor. And that got higher ratings. That just proves that, like, Destination America is pretty smart, because I guarantee you they're paying much less for Ring of Honor, and now they're getting higher ratings.
They're just paying for the right to air it.
Yeah.
They're not paying any production.
Which is so smart.
Wrestling is extremely expensive.
Yep. Crazy.
Yes. And they're biting it. They're biting down on the steak with TNA. And they have to chew it to the end of the year.
I just feel so bad. I feel so bad for those guys. Like, guys like MVP and guys like, let's see, Low Key, and all these guys that can go to Japan or the Indies and make more money and are trying to, like, improve the product, and they're getting screwed over. Imagine not knowing. Imagine finding out on Twitter or, like, Bleacher Report that, like, Ring of Honor is on before your show. Imagine, Juan, what those guys must have
done. Legit pissed.
Holy shit.
I mean, legit. I would have walked out. I would have signed a contract with Ring of Honor.
Samoa Joe is probably like...
He saw it coming.
Yep.
He saw it coming. He was like, you know what? Let me make as much money as I can. Which is interesting, right? Could you imagine if TNA would have taped like 2 months worth of shows? Right? Samoa Joe would have been on NXT, TNA, and he would have appeared at a Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
He would have been like the modern-day Rick Rude.
All in the same month.
Yep.
And you know, and it goes back to the beginning of our conversation where it's, what are these guys bringing that makes them so much better that they could do this? And I know MVP works hard. His matches, he doesn't phone them in. I know Low Key is capable of so much more. I've seen him against Fergal Devitt in New Japan. It's amazing what he could do.
MVP was making a shit ton of money in Japan as Black Dynamite. A shit ton of money. I have no idea
and
why.
They come here and they put their neck on the line for you, and this is how you work them.
Yep. Oh. Crazy. If New Japan was smart, they would get a U.S. show like as soon as possible and to capitalize on all of this stuff.
Where would you fit it? Where would you fit it? Wednesday is too crowded for wrestling.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, Tuesday is available.
Yeah, I don't know.
You have Lucha Underground, who finished their season, have a compelling authority figure, have wonderfully staged matches, intergender matches, if that's your thing. It's short, sweet, to the point, it's an hour. It's hard to find. I have to watch it on YouTube. I don't have all the way. But it's fantastic. It's on Wednesdays. Ring of Honor, great wrestling. So storylines, but great wrestling on Wednesdays. TNA, the alternative that I wanted to support, but is letting me down. It's like that girl you take to the prom, but all she wants to do is go, hey, I just want to dance. I don't want to do anything else. And you're like, damn it, TNA, come on. Give me some of that TNA goodness. Right? But you can't, but it's all on Wednesday. So you have like 4 or 5 hours of wrestling on Wednesday. And I'm not even talking about NXT on top of that.
Yeah. You know what's so sad, too? It's like now, when you watch these four, like these three-on-three matches and these five-man matches and these four-man matches in WWE, and it's like finisher palooza at the end, a lot of people think that that's so fucking awesome, and it's such a blatant ripoff off of like 2005, 2006 TNA, where you would have like Samoa Joe, Jerry Lynn, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, all these guys doing that. Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin doing that like every single week. And it's like it's to the point now where the WWE does what TNA used to do best better than they do. It just sucks. It just sucks. It's like this is like a great time to be a wrestling fan because there's so much variety. But then it's like all of the variety has kind of like watered down the product. There's no reason why WWE should be 3 hours. And there's no reason why Raw should be 3 hours. And there's no reason why TNA should be 2 hours. TNA would be a great hour show if they just cut all of the nonsense. If they booked TNA the same way that NXT is booked, TNA's ratings would be so much better.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think they're trying to do too much. And they're overthinking everything. And that's why I think SmackDown has kind of come into its own slowly from where it was a year ago. It's the more wrestling-heavy show. It does have promos, but the promos lead to something directly. And slowly it's coming back into significance. I don't know if you've noticed. You know, storylines are starting. You know, probably because people are injured, so therefore you need to replace them in order to come to the pay-per-view, which now seems to come every 2 weeks.
I think this like hit a snag a bit when Brian got hurt, because they were looking for Brian to be the guy to take SmackDown to the next level.
And he was doing it. Those matchups with Ziggler were fantastic.
I agree. But now the thing is, too, it's like this pay-per-view event nonsense every 2 weeks, I think, is going to kill it. And it's like these are things that, like, these are some of the things why CM Punk decided to leave the company. Because now it's like, now you're going to have all of these events every 2 weeks, and people really aren't paying for them the way that they used to. So, why? What's the point of this? What's the point of Money in the Bank now? In terms of, like, it means the same thing for us. Because we know what the end result is going to be. Somebody gets a briefcase, they get a push, they most likely, like, 75% win the title. Good times all around, fun to be had for all. But for those guys in there taking those flat back bumps, those neck breakers, those power bombs, all of those things, what's in it for them? What do those guys get?
Nothing, a brief spot.
Yeah. Do they get any more money?
No.
No. Do they get to prove that they're the ones that put asses in the seats? No. And that's the problem, too. That's probably the biggest problem in wrestling right now. How do you know if somebody puts asses in seats?
You don't, because no one's got a chance, because the Superman shows up every now and then and tells you what to think.
Yep.
You know, Kevin Cena's putting asses in seats. He did it by beating the Superman. He's got to keep doing it.
Away from Owens lately, it's like, who was really putting asses in seats? Well, I mean, why did you go to that live event? Who did you go to see?
Everyone except Cena. I wanted to see how it felt to go to see it live, mm-hmm. right? And I was there to boo Cena, right? But I see, and I've said it earlier in the show, I see his appeal and I understand it, right? And his is the only merchandise being sold on the floor during the event. There's somebody walking around. I swear to God, they look alike. They might be cousins, right? But there's someone walking around selling his stupid little light stick that all the little kids bought. And this one mom, her kid walked in with a regular t-shirt. Halfway through, he had a John Cena t-shirt. Halfway through, he had the sweatbands and the cat. Halfway through, he had a mini U.S. title, and I'm sitting there going, she just turned her kid into John Cena. That lady dropped at least $200 plus the tickets.
Crazy.
And I'm going, I see it. I see why it's a safe bet.
But it's like, who else could you do that with in WWE? You can't do that with anybody else.
And I saw Wade Barrett come out, and he was fantastic. He talked down to the crowd. He performed for us. He worked hard. He took the pin for Neville, who was amazing in person, right? And you're sitting there, you know, and the ring doesn't have foam, so it's a lot louder in person, right? So you're sitting there and you're going, these guys are really working hard, and it doesn't come across on TV. It doesn't come across, maybe because in person, you know, you got the music blaring in your face. There's no one to talk over you, so you have to do your own play-by-play. So you begin to see, one, when you hear when they call spots, two, you see just how hard they work. And when it comes to a match like Money in the Bank, why is Kofi Kingston in there? He's going to have fantastic spots.
Yep.
That, where he's going to get demolished by Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is going to kill everyone. He's going to go up, grab the Money in the Bank briefcase, and disappear for 3 months. It's the only thing that can happen. Hold it hostage, because whoever has the title, well, as soon as they get the Money in the Bank briefcase, Seth Rollins is getting his ass kicked a little bit by someone. They're going to cash it in at any moment.
That's what I was thinking too. That like that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
That like you have to remove that option.
That Lesnar gets it, or like Kevin Owens gets it, or somebody that's like a wrecking machine gets it. And how many wrecking machines are there in WWE right now? Just two.
Well, there were three, but one got injured on SmackDown. I keep bringing it back to SmackDown for the fact that these guys are working hard for like 5 days straight.
They are.
Their schedule runs from Thursday to Tuesday. Right. And I'm just like, I can't do that, bro.
Yeah.
Taking those bumps, like, twice a day for God knows how long, it must be excruciating.
It's like Taz said it best. He said that it's like, it's not a job, it's a lifestyle. You have to be, like, just a special person. I don't mean special in, like, a derogatory way at all. Like, you have to just be a special person to, like, want to take that type of beating just for the pop that the crowd gives you. Because that's what they do it for. Sure, they do it because the money's probably pretty good and stuff, but the money's not that good to, like, to put your body at risk like that. I can think of a couple other ways that are more lucrative to make just as much money that don't involve you getting slammed on your neck, shoulders, back, legs, feet, gonads, you know? It's like, you have to be really, like, you have to be one of a kind to, like, want to do that. And a lot of people don't appreciate it, you know? It just sucks sometimes. And that's one of the reasons why it sucks that you have all these different shows on and all of it is all mediocre. Because it's like, these guys aren't going to be able to do this forever. And we're wasting valuable time. We're wasting valuable time. It's like when I see the New Day come out. And yeah, they're slowly beginning to grow on me and stuff like that. But it's like, Kofi Kingston could be so much more than a sideshow. You know, Xavier Woods could be so much more than like a little weasel. You know, it's like some of these guys. It's like Ziggler. Why hasn't Ziggler been given a run at Seth Rollins? You know, it's like he pinned him already at SummerSlam at Survivor Series. He was like the hope. He was the guy that like, you know, went against the Authority and like swept him under the rug. And like, of course, he got help from Sting, but he was the guy that did it. What happened to that? It's like we're wasting time.
They're still afraid. And the Bryan situation has made that worse.
Yes, I agree.
They're afraid to put the title on someone who's going to get hurt.
Yep.
And therefore, Dolph Ziggler would not see a WWE Heavyweight Championship.
Which is so sad. Because he's good enough.
And I told you, he's a chaser. Yep. And I'm cool with it now. But a couple months ago, I was furious whenever he loses.
Yeah.
I'm furious. And I still kind of get mad. You know, at Elimination Chamber, when he took that pin, I got angry. I got legit angry because I'm like, come on. What else? Why does Sheamus have to be Sheamus?
Right. Sheamus is missing something. And it's like, I like Sheamus. I'm a Sheamus guy. But it's like, he's missing something. He's not where he needs to be. And I don't know if he's ever going to...
Yeah, but it's in a WWE title picture.
Yeah.
It isn't a U.S. title picture. It's exactly where he was. But there's something that's just a bit off. And maybe it's just because he's not great on the mic. But I just need him to be a wrecking machine.
Yeah, I agree.
Like Lesnar and Owens. Just let him do it.
Let Becky Lynch, like, bring Becky Lynch up. Let her. And the thing is, she can't fucking talk either. You know? So it's like he needs a mouthpiece. He's a guy that needs a mouthpiece.
You think he needed Lana?
I don't know if it would work. And see, that's the thing, too. It's like, why do you put Ziggler, somebody with like a ton of charisma that doesn't need a valet, why do they consistently give him valets? Vicky, AJ, now Lana. It's like, why? He doesn't need anybody.
I just think there's no... He's already a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
He's good on the mic. He's funny, right? He could be a little you know, standoffish.
Mm-hmm.
But he is, when he gets in, it's on.
Yep.
And he'll sell for you. And he'll make Adam Rose look like he's fucking Brock Lesnar. But they just said, I need more eyes on him. Why? People are already cheering for him. People pop for him.
That pop that he got that night that he beat Del Rio for the title, that was one of the largest pops I've ever heard in my life.
Because he worked hard for it.
Yep, and everyone knew what was coming, and everyone wanted it, you know? And I think if he beat Rollins, like, on a Raw or something like that, I think you'd hear the same thing. I think you'd hear people go fucking bananas.
Yeah. And then someone, Kane will come with a chair and tell the referee to count. Because that's where it's going.
See, but that would be great. Like, after Money in the Bank, let's just say Lesnar wins Money in the Bank. Okay? And then you have Dolph Ziggler beat Seth Rollins in, like, a 25-minute, like, epic on Raw. And at, like, 11:03, all of a sudden, Lesnar's music hits. And then, so it's like, Ziggler defies the odds, wins the title, everyone's going apeshit, and then all of a sudden, and then Lesnar comes out and wins the title? That would be sick. That would be great on a Raw, you know?
Yeah. Fantastic.
And then that sets up, like, a Ziggler-Lesnar match, or a Ziggler-Lesnar-Rollins match at a pay-per-view. Why can't we see that? That would be great! people, it's like that'd they don't think us. Anymore. Yeah, it's, but
we're not the crowd that's watching Raw.
Yeah, because they want to see John Cena, like, do a shitty springboard stunner, and
it is really bad.
The first two or three times he hit it, it looked good, but it's like, after that, it's like he forgot how to do it. He's like hitting it from the wrong side. It's like, what are you, dyslexic all of a sudden? Like, oh.
He can't turn his neck to the left.
Yeah.
Remember? Because of the neck injury?
Yeah.
He can't turn to the left.
It's just bad. So. It's like the one thing to take away from this, you know, this epic hour-long conversation that we've had is just like, just because you have more of something doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good thing. You know, yeah. It's like Ring of Honor has really good matches, but at the same time, too, there's no context. And they let, like, the charismatic performers that they have kind of, like, go out to dry because people don't know who the hell they are unless they're really dedicated fans that have invested serious time into finding the channels that the shows are on or reading online and watching YouTube videos about them. TNA is just a complete clusterfuck that has no idea, like, what they're doing. And then it's like WWE is just so oversaturated and there's so many people on the roster that even despite the fact that they cut and cut and cut at their roster, there's still way too many people that are underutilized. And again, it's kind of like, when are we going to get what we want? And the answer to that is probably never.
Hmm. So I'm assuming you had an okay time with your wrestling dates this week, but not enough to give them a second phone call.
It's kind of like I'm going to come back next week and try and do this again. But I'm going to say for the record that like Wednesday was pretty fucking exhausting. Seriously, it's like 4 hours of wrestling. Holy crap. It was just a lot, man.
And you don't watch Lucha.
And I don't watch Lucha because I don't get the channel. And I want to watch it because I'm a big John Morrison fan. And I like all the people that are on there, you know. So it's like, and I love that, like, Robert Rodriguez, like, took a chance on this whole thing. And I love the whole historic, like, element of, like, the whole Mexican wrestling, you know, history. It's like, when I went to Mexico on my honeymoon, I told my wife, like, if we don't buy a couple of wrestling masks here, I'm going to be pissed off. You know, we actually, like, went into, like, a town in Mexico, and I bought a Psicosis mask, and I bought a La Parca mask, just because I felt like it was something that I needed to have, you know? So it's, like, it's a show that I want to watch, but it's, like, when? It's, like, I want to stay married, so it's, like, I don't want to put my wife through, like, I already put her through Raw, and, like, sometimes she watches NXT with me, and I feel like she's done her civic duty as a solid wife, that anything more than that is just unfair, because I'm not going to watch 5 hours of Glee in a week. That's not happening. So I can't force her to watch 5 hours of wrestling, you know? So it's like I'm watching stuff like later at night, or I'm DVRing it and stuff like that, and then it's like Wednesday night into Thursday morning, I watched 4 hours of wrestling, and I was literally exhausted, and I was like, I really didn't enjoy it nearly as much as I wanted to. Aside from, like, Jay Briscoe's promo, like, the first couple of minutes of Ring of Honor, and then, like, the end of that thing when he, the end of that little skirmish when he caught Jay Lethal with the double underarm, the double underhook pile driver, that was, like, that was it for me. Those were good moments, but the rest of it was, like, Japanese guy that most people have never heard of versus like young guy that no one else has ever heard of, or watch up. No,
I heard of him. He was the camera guy who got hit by Dean Ambrose.
Oh my god.
Will Ferrara. Oh. I'm looking at you, Will Ferrara.
Or washed up NFLer that's now like the new Monty Brown, you know, versus.
Hold on a sec. You don't talk about Moose like that.
Yeah, well, Moose doesn't do anything for me yet. And it's like he beat the shit out of Steve Corino's kid. It's like fantastic. Why can't we see BJ Whitmer in the ring? You know why? Because the Moose is shit right now, and he wouldn't be able to wrestle 5 minutes with BJ Whitmer. So instead, you just give me, you know, like a waste of time. And that's the thing. It's like you only have an hour. Stop wasting my time.
It was your first hour.
It was supposed to be special. There should have been like a title change or something. It's like you have Christopher Daniels and Frank Kazarian come out. They're like one of the best tag teams of this generation. And then all you have them do is talk shit about Red Dragon. Have them wrestle Red Dragon this week. Put it balls to the walls, boys. 1 hour. Give it to me. And that's just not what happened. And it's like NXT did the same thing. It's like, oh yeah, Finn Balor and Kevin Owens are going to wrestle in Japan. Yeah, bro, that's like a month from now. What are we doing now? The main event, Finn Balor versus Rhino. Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? It's like, I love Rhino and I love Finn Balor, but it's like, that shouldn't have been the main event. That should have been the match before the main event. Give me something. That's one of the reasons why, I've said it before, Sasha Banks should have wrestled last week. They should have had Sasha Banks defend the title in the main event. Or they need a secondary title in NXT. I know the show's only an hour, but with this on-again, off-again nonsense that they have, they need to have like a TV title or a secondary title. And then this way, every week there's a title being defended on NXT. So the weeks that like Kevin Owens isn't wrestling somebody, then this secondary title could be wrestled. Like, somebody could wrestle for that title. Or that they'll actually have the tag team, like, they'll actually have Blake and Murphy actually defend the title. You know? Just, there needs to be more thought put into how a lot of the stuff is booked. I understand the on-again, off-again. But if no titles are being defended and none of the real main storylines are being, you know, addressed, what's the point of the show? There's too many of these, like, building shows. It's like building towards something good. Why can't we just fucking get to something good? You know?
Sometimes you gotta eat the layers of a cake in order to enjoy the frosting.
No, I want the frosting. I just want the frosting.
Oh, man. So, any closing thoughts on your 8 hours of wrestling?
I mean,
besides the diatribe?
I mean, I'm going to do it again, so I'm either a glutton for punishment or I really love professional wrestling. And it's the same reason.
Or is it that you know that at any moment, greatness could strike?
Yes, that's the thing. And it's like, because this is the thing. It's like you say to yourself, I have to watch this week because what if something happens? It's like I remember the week that I went on my honeymoon. I'm like, I'm going to miss a week. This sucks ass. This is not fair. This is not right. And my wife is like, we're going to be, like, celebrating our wedding. Like, we're going to be, you know, in Mexico and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I wonder if I could watch Raw, like, on an illegal feed, you know, like, on my iPad while my wife is in the shower. You know, I'm like, because the whole thing is, it's like, you don't want to miss it. You feel like you're a part of something if you're a real wrestling fan. And it's like, that part of something doesn't mean nearly as much as it used to. And in order for it to kind of get back to the way that it used to be, there needs to be, like, major shakeups. And I'm talking about Ring of Honor. And I'm talking about, what's it called, Lucha Underground. And I'm talking about TNA. And I'm talking about the WWE. Like, there needs to be tremendous shakeups. There needs to be, like, that layer of unpredictability. It's like you're talking about cake before. Like, let's throw a razor blade in that cake and see who fucking takes the bite. You know? It's like that's what needs to happen. And right now it's just all too predictable. It's like Roman Reigns wrestles 3 times. Do you think Roman Reigns really was going to lose a match on Monday?
No.
Did that thought ever cross your head?
He's going to turn heel.
Yes. That's obvious.
Because he's too bad at being his friend.
Yes.
He's too obvious.
It's like he's got his arm around him and stuff. You're like, yeah, that motherfucker's going to stab you in the back. That's coming, baby. Count on that, you know? It's just too predictable. You know? And it's like Eric Bischoff said it best, controversy creates cash. And how much controversy is there in professional wrestling right now?
Not
a lot. And that's the reason why Raw has had some of the worst ratings it's had in a long time. And that's the reason why Ring of Honor got better ratings than TNA this week. Because people were like, oh, they're going to be on the same channel, like, right around the same time? Like, what is this about? And people tuned in just because they wanted to see what Ring of Honor brought to the table. Which is the reason why Ring of Honor let its fans down, and then it let down potential fans by serving up, like, a big steaming pile of, like, decent macaroni and cheese when they could have just put some Cheese Whiz on the fucker and some adobo and gave us something really special. Instead, they just gave us, like, generic store-brand macaroni and cheese. We can eat it. It's enjoyable, but it's not gooey. It's not gangster.
Well, it's not gangster. And at the dawning of the Wednesday Night War, just know this, you could have had some macaroni and cheese with adobo, but you didn't. Instead, you just got some Velveeta, shells and cheese, and some broccoli.
It wasn't even Velveeta. It wasn't even Velveeta with some Pathmark generic store brand black and white.
What, you mean White Rose?
White Rose macaroni and cheese with some powder ass freaking cheese
so bad
that you had to mix butter in to thicken it up. It's like gross.
Yours mindset used milk once and it just like plopped up and made like a cheese log. It was all weird.
Oh my god. It looked like a big like yellow turd in your macaroni and cheese.
Just remember, go to the No Frills aisle if you're poor.
Oh my god.
I used to shop there a lot.
Me too, man. You get like a gallon of ice cream for like $1.50.
Yeah, and you're like, No Frills? Yeah, USDA. It's the same garbage that you were buying two aisles down.
Oh my USDA god. It's like macaroni and cheese and like there's no S in the cheese. It's like a Z. And there's and there's like a little clown on the box. It's like, eat my shitty macaroni cheese.
Yeah. Make your poo all rainbow colors.
Oh my god. But that's what wrestling is making us do now. It's making us poop rainbow colors.
Rainbow colors. And I think I see Mickey James. That's where she fell into once he pushed her off the chat.
That's what's going to happen with Mickey James. She's gonna come back as like a cloud or whatever. Hardcore country! Oh my god.
You know what's the really sad part?
What?
My dog's looking at me like I'm crazy.
I know, my dog too.
But when I boo John Cena, he howls.
Oh, that sucks.
No, he's howling to express that he's in the same boat as I am.
Oh, I thought he was like agreeing with your mom's. Does your mom like John Cena?
She does, but she still says Cena sucks.
Oh, okay, good. She's a good woman.
Of course my mother's a good woman. This is my mom.
It's your mom's.
Yeah. She made this awesome specimen of fatty turkey.
You can tell your mother that Patrick Hickey says that she's so much cooler than Judy Bagwell.
Thank you for listening to the ReviewFix.com Wrestling Podcast. Tune in next week for another bone-chilling DDT-inspired episode.